and he was giving the reference of Adam, eh? You know, when Adam sinned, the Bible says God was coming in the cool of the day. You can imagine Adam has sinned, yes, but God is keeping his covenant. God is keeping his time. And he's keeping his appointment with man, because this was already his intention and this was already his plan. And likewise too, when you know, when we just make a commitment that we will have this hour or this time, likewise too God also keeps his time and keeps his covenant. And one thing I constantly see is God is always ready for us. He's ready to speak to us. He's always ready to even wake us up, ready to, you know, even like when you miss the alarm, you just, they just has to make sure that you are ready for him. And for me, at times I just smile. You could even sleep so late, but then he just finds a way to get you up, because he values this relationship. And I think that's very important. And I think it also speaks to, you know, to our message today, on as we conclude on the signs of the end times, that the end will come, where, you know, God calls us to be prayerfully and watchful, you know, and then, you know, to watch and pray, how we are called to be, you know, wise and faithful servants, and not assuming that it has taken too long, and so that we may receive our reward. You know, and we can read Matthew 24, and we'll read from verse 36. And it says, however, no one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself, only the Father knows. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day, in the days of Noah. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up until the time Noah entered his boat. You know, it says they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. Two men will be working together in a field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. So you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. Understand this: if an homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, a thief was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. Who is the wise and faithful servant? A faithful and sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. I tell you the truth, the master will put that servant in charge of all he owns. But what if the servant is evil and thinks, my master won't be back for a while, and he begins beating the other servants, partying and getting drunk? The master will return unannounced and unexpected, and he will cut the servant to pieces and assign him a grave, a place with the hypocrites, in the place where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now I want us to reflect on especially when it says that no one knows the day of the hour, not even the angels, not even the Son himself, only the Father knows. Now, you see, the way that, and this is something when we understand, you know, the Trinity, the way God has chosen to reveal himself, he has chosen to reveal himself to us in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the Trinity. And we know that we have one God, our God is one, but he exists in three persons. He exists in the Father, he exists in the Son, and he exists in the Holy Spirit. And these three are of equal ability, equal essence. They are the same. They are three distinct personalities, in that the Holy Spirit is different from the Father and is also different from Jesus. And how we see is that the Father is a creator, the Father is a source, the Father is the one that has all authority, is the one that, you know, that sets the creation in order, and beyond that we also see that he holds, you know, the limits of time, and Jesus has as the Son has submitted himself to the Father as a son. Yet he is equal to God. Remember when the Bible in Philippians says he did not consider himself equality, a robbery to be equal to God, but he humbled himself even to the form of a servant, and he was found in appearance even to the form of a slave. And you can read that in Philippians chapter 2. So he humbled himself, and therefore God gave him a name that is above every other name, that at the mention of Jesus. So what we see is that Jesus is the Son of God, and he comes to make us to be sons of God, to redeem us into sons of God. And the Holy Spirit, what we see is that he is the executor. He is the one that hovers. He is the one that awaits the word of God to come for instruction to take place. So what we see in the Trinity, the person that knows the day or the hour, that exactly when the when Jesus will come back, or when the end will come, it is only set by the Father. And even remember in Acts chapter 1, when the disciples asked Jesus, are you now at this point going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he tells them, it is not for you to know the days, the times, or the seasons set by my Father by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So the answers to us knowing the exact time when Jesus will come is not something that we can answer. It's not something that even to in the Trinity that Jesus, the Son himself, knows, but it is only known by the Father. And it is said the times set by the Father by his own authority. That means the Father is the one in his own sovereignty as the source of all things, determines that. But you see, as we are told, that think of the time of Noah, and you know, and that's what this is, a principle that we've been seeing. Everything that God will do or has done, there's nothing new under the sun. And I think that's something, a statement we've been reflecting on, that this world as we know it has been destroyed before. And when was it destroyed? It was destroyed in the time of Noah. The Bible says when the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in the days of Noah, in Noah's day. And remember, in Noah, the Bible says that there was increase in wickedness, similarly to what it is happening in our time. But as much as there was increase in wickedness, the Bible says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And likewise, we too, as are in the days of Noah, we too who have believed in Christ, we have found grace and we have found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And the Bible says that, like, you can imagine up until that day, because Noah took, I think, if I'm not wrong, is about 120 years to build the ark. I mean, God commanded him build the ark, and then, you know, he commanded the animals to come two by two, and they entered the ark. But for those entire time period, life was going on as normal. People were eating, people were drinking, people were enjoying parties, you know, they were, you know, dancing and everything. until the time when Noah entered into the boat, and the Bible says, and God shut them in. And you see also, when you look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse, let's see, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, which speaks of Noah. And God did not spare the ancient world except for Noah and the seven others in his family. Noah warned the world of God's righteous judgment. So God protected Noah when he destroyed the world of ungodly people with a vast flood. And later on, God condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and turned them into heaps of ashes. He made an example of what will happen to ungodly people. But God also rescued Lot out of Sodom because he was a righteous man who was sick of the shameful immorality of the wicked people around him. Yes, Lot was a righteous man who was tormented in his soul by the wickedness he saw and heard day after day. So you see, the Lord knows how to rescue godly people from their trials, even while keeping the wicked under punishment until the final day of judgment. So, and this is, you know, when Peter speaks about, you know, false teachers, and is warning them that, you know what, and we are seeing that God did not spare the ancient world. So this world, as we see it, has been destroyed before. And likewise, it will now not be destroyed by water, but it will be destroyed by fire. And the Bible tells us that the elements will melt. You know, heaven and earth will run away, and they will melt, and they will, you know, they will take off. And they will flee at the sight of the Son of Man. And then everyone now will be prepared for judgment. But as it was, people will think it is normal. And this is what, you know, when you tell people, oh, Jesus is coming back, when you preach the gospel, what do people say? Ah, this Jesus you have been talking about from the beginning of time. I mean, how many years people have been saying, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. When is he coming? But you see, just as it was, as people were eating, drinking, marrying, joining parties, being married, what happens is that the flood came and swept them away. And this is how it will be. So the parallel that God has shown us, the parallel that God is showing us is that, look here, I've done this before, and I will do it again. The same way guys will be relaxing. So now what is that telling us? It's telling us that two men will be walking together. One will be taken and the other left. And you see, why are they being taken? It is because God is rescuing them from the day of tribulation. And remember, we believe that the rapture, when the rapture happens, it will actually rescue, you know, the church or the believers from that terrible day of persecution. And so when the two are walking, it is the one that is righteous, the one that has put his faith in Christ, you know. And this is where it's the one who has, by faith, entered into the ark of God, the ark which is Christ, which will rescue us and which will take us to be with him. And that's why he says, for you also too must keep your watch, for you don't know the day or the hour that the Lord is coming. And just think about it, how, if you know, I mean, if you've ever been stolen from by thieves, you know that it is not a good experience. I remember there was a time I was staying in a city and in a town where I was doing my internship. And I went for my Christmas break. And when I came back, you know, when you have this house where the lock is inside, you have to put in your hand inside where the padlock is. And someone described it like milking a cow. But anyway, that kind of lock of the house. Now, I put in my hand and I wanted to unopen the padlock. But when I put in my hand, I did not feel any padlock. And for a moment, you sweat a bit. You're like, wait a minute. I'm sure I locked my house. There's no way I would have left and not have locked my house. And then, of course, when you now enter, you can see the shock, You can see the house in disorder. You can see, you know, TV screen is taken away. These things, clothes are here. One bag is taken. Shoes are taken. And all these things. And in your mind, you're like, ah, when did this thief come? You know, and you know, there are things that you left just in a way that you wish that, oh, if I had known a thief would come, I would not have left these documents or these things like this. But you see, we never know the day or the hour when he shall come. And we know that things that we expect, we either expect the rapture will take place, that means the end will be declared, or we either expect that at any time, the owner of this life of ours can ask for it. And he says, we must keep watch. We must keep watch. And this keeping watch is now where we are being told, how can we be prayerfully keeping, you know, keeping our stand, being faithful in the things that God has asked us to do. And how do we keep our watch? We keep our watch by being in Christ, by putting our faith in Christ, by being obedient to Christ. Because remember, it is him who is able to keep us and to present us before his great and glorious presence with great joy. So it is God himself, it is Jesus himself that will present us to God, that we are holy and righteous in his sight. On our own, it will never be our own righteousness. So we keep watch by being constantly conscious and being constantly remembering that our faith, our salvation is not by works, is not by human effort, but it is by putting of our faith in Christ. But beyond that also, as we put our faith in Christ, we must live as those who have been transformed by that faith. And this is the place where of restoration. This is the place of, you know, of repentance, of changing our mind, of changing the way we live. We must constantly live lives that give glory to God. Be it in our families, be it with our children, be it with our spouses, be it in the workplace. You know, at times, you know, if let's say you are about to do something wrong and you ask yourself, if Christ was to come right now, if my soul was demanded of me right now, will I have been found keeping watch, or will I be caught like a thief coming unexpectedly into my house? And he says, who is the wise and faithful servant whom the master, you know, has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? You see, any servant of Christ, anyone who has come to the faith, eventually God gives a responsibility. And that's why I keep saying that we need to ask ourselves, what is your ministry? You know, what is your responsibility? What is the thing that you have purposed to do for the kingdom of God? And he says that if you're wise and faithful, you know, then you are blessed. You know, and you know, responsibilities are given to faithful people. And we grow in responsibility. We grow in tests. God saves everyone, but he does not use everyone. You know, God uses people who have been tested. God uses people who have shown their faithfulness. And remember, that's why when you read the scripture, it says, if you are faithful in another man's business, then you can be trusted with your own. If you are faithful in little, then you can be trusted with much. And if you are faithful in much, then you can be trusted with eternal riches. So God expects us, as we are watchful, as we are keeping note of the signs. Remember, as we see the signs, we've looked at the signs. What are these signs of this end time? We are told to watch. We are told to be alert. We are told, as the signs come, you know, as there's, you know, earthquakes, as there's rumors of war, as there's pestilences, as there's, you know, all these dangers all around us, let us be watchful that and remember that our Lord is coming soon. And as it's coming soon, not only are we responsible for ourselves, but also for those God places in our hand. Can we still be available to give them food at their proper time, to give them the word of God, to share God's word? And the Bible says it is true that if the master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, he will give a reward, and he will put that servant in charge of all that he owns. But you see the danger of, you know, of delays, and the danger of when God delays as we think it is delay, then we can say, ah, this story is still continuing on for all these years. Me, I'm tired. And you see, when that evil servant thinks my master will not be back for a while, and he begins beating the other servants, partying and getting drunk, what happens is that there will be judgment, because the master will come unannounced and unexpected, and he will cut the servant to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I think it's very sad that if all your life you have, you know, you have kept your faith, you have stayed faithful to God, and then in the last moment, in those moments of feeling that no, it has been too long with God, I've waited too long, by now I should be married, it hasn't happened, I'm now 50, so I can just get a baby or get pregnant or just go with whoever comes. At that point, you have stopped being, you know, watchful and prayerful, and you've lost contact, or you've forgotten that word that saved you. And this is the problem. This is why, you know, study is always important. You know, keeping constantly in the word of God. Why? Because we are reminded of things that we easily forget. It's like our brains don't remember everything. Or rather, the enemy comes to snatch that word, to steal that word. And unless we are constantly in the word of God, constantly being reminded of our faith, constantly being reminded of the end is near, the end is coming, that at any point the master can demand for his, you know, his what he has given us. The question is, are we wise and faithful servants? You know, God is really in need of wise and faithful servants. And this is not servanthood from the point of slavery, but this is servanthood from the point of sonship. You know, those who are sons, those who know that they, you know, that, you know, like if you're wasting someone's resources, wasting your master's resources, you are a slave actually, because you think that, if I waste, I mean, at the end of the day, this master is rich. It doesn't matter whether he loses, it goes into loss. But you see, when you are a son and you cannot eat what is yours, because you know that if it goes to loss, this car spoils, it is our car too. It is our house. And that's why at times when you see people driving cars or rickshaw, you can know an owner of a car or someone who has borrowed the car or someone who is just a slave who does not care. The owner of the car is very careful at every pothole. The slave does not care, runs through the potholes as they want. But the day when they come to understand that this is also my responsibility, then you can see the change. So we have a responsibility, and God is telling us today, the signs for the end times are there, but we have a responsibility to keep watch. The world will be destroyed for sure. It will happen in the twinkling of an eye. At any point, the trumpet will sound. The dead who are in Christ will be the first to rise. And we who are alive would be caught up to meet and welcome the Lord in the air. As we were told, don't be like those ignorant people who don't know. But we must not grieve, or we must not live as if we are ignorant. But let us be wise and faithful and keeping watch. Yeah, so I'll stop there, and I think today is mostly the application of, yes, we know these are the signs of the end times, you know, there will be all this, but how does it apply to us as believers, and how must we constantly be in touch with that reality and keep reminding ourselves and being faithful? So welcome, my brother, for reflections.
Thank you, Doctor. I think the message is clear. No additions from my side. It's just a reminder that each day of our lives, we need to live it as although it was it is our last on this earth, Christ is coming back any moment from now. I think the mistake would be in leaving the expectations of we are waiting for when he will come back, because then I think at the end of the day, that's when you start getting frustrated that you have waited for long. Except that this is the life we have chosen.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter which day comes back, but is on the life after this earth. That's when we can withstand any trials, any temptation. So I think it's that focus, just knowing that I need to better my life. I need to live for my life after this world, but also need to. Because the Bible says we're not only for the heaven, but also with his work we're supposed to do on this earth.
Yes.
Yeah. And that should define the life that we live as Christians. Yeah. So thank you for that reminder.
Amen, amen. And even as you mentioned that, I think it just takes me to Luke 19, verse 13, where it says, where the man who went to a faraway country and he called his 10 servants and delivered £10 to them and said, occupy till I come. And really that word is make profit, you know, do the work that God has called us to do until I come. And really that's why it asks, who is that wise and faithful servant who the Lord shall put charge over his household, over his servants, to give them food at their proper time? And it's that place of service that we need to be busy at. That's why we need to find our ministry. What is our ministry? Be it in the workplace, be it in the family. What is that thing that God has given us that we are called to just be faithful in which we are to occupy till he comes? And I think that, as you have said, when we are busy, we will not, you know, we will not be caught off guard. But if we are idle, then we will be like, you know, it's taken too long. So really it's a call for us to be, you know, busy in the house of the Lord and in the things of God. Thank you for that too. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for today you encourage us to be watchful, to keep watch. Because no one knows the day or the hour that in which the Son of Man will come and where the end will happen. But you call us to trust in you. You call us to put our hopes, to put our faith in you. You call us to be watchful, to be prayerful, you know, to occupy till you come, O God. To be that wise and faithful servant, O God. To be preachers of righteousness, O God. That, Lord God, we may make a difference in our world before this world is destroyed. And that, Lord God, indeed in your coming, we shall not be caught unawares. We shall not be grieving like those who do not have hope, O God. But, Lord, we shall put our hopes, our trust in you, O God, because you are God. You are in charge of our lives. You are in charge of everything that concerns us. May your name be praised and be adored. And Father, I remember our family members, remember our children, remember everything that concerns us, our parents, our wife. O God, the Lord, your hand shall be upon them. Your strength shall be with them. I thank you for the workplace. Thank you for the week ahead, that even as we carry on with the work that, God, you have helped us to do and that you help us to do, may your hand strengthen and sustain us, O God. We rebuke every form of weakness, you know, every form of sickness in our bodies. We come against it in the name of Jesus. Guide our steps, O God. Give us the grace and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to stay faithful and true to the work that you've called us to do. That, Lord, indeed, may we, our eyes be open to the work that you have asked us to do, and give us the grace and the continued grace to be faithful stewards of everything that you've given us. I pray, even as you go ahead, strengthen and sustain us and walk with us. Until we meet again, may your hand be with us. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead. Good morning. Bye.